business, and I'm the acting board chairman for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I sure can.
Can you state your name?
Adonis Lewis.
That's mine.
Okay, Mr. Lewis, your hearing is going to be handled by our panel lead, Mr. David Neal. So the next voice you'll hear is Mr. Neal. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes, sir.
Yes, did you receive my letter that I my counselor sent to you? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And again, I'll be turning the board over to Mr. David Neal. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I sure can.
Alrighty. Would you state your... Well, you already did that, I'm sorry. Did you state your... do it again just for record. Would you state your name and the ABC number?
Adonis Lewis. Number
085789. Thank you, sir.
Yes,
sir. Your report for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning reference to your community supervision revocation.
Yes.
I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing. We have a three-member panel this morning. To my far right is the Honorable Bill Rittenhouse. To her left is the Honorable Louis Quinones, who's the acting chair today. My name is David Neal, I'll be the hearing lead. And also in the room today, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and I'll also represent the parole board.
Okay.
So prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, I do, sir.
All right, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
Representing myself.
So I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in at this time. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I tell the truth.
I do.
The hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And if they are violated in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your warrant. And after I read it, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. If you think it's false, we'll get more information from Mr. Turner and talk about it, okay?
Okay.
All right, allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number two. Have demonstrated by a failure to secure a residence at TLC located at 9430 North 11th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, per verbal directive dated April 12, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision, so you were an absconder from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
Yes, that's true that I didn't go to the halfway house you sent me to.
All right. Okay, so based on the admission of Mr. Lewis, and you would find that he was arrested as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed by Mr. Canellis.
Probably Darky.
One moment, sir.
Okay. Can I explain why, though?
Okay. We're going to move into phase two. You'll have that opportunity. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. So we're getting ready to move into phase two, but before we move, Mr. Turner's going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone, and we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Mr. Turner?
Mr. Lewis was released from ADC custody on 5/25/2017. And arrested on 6/7/2018 by Glendale PD. No new charges are noted. Returned back to ABC custody on 6/7/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 322/2019 with 56 abscondes. Current conviction, 2008, robbery, 10 years. Prior convictions, 1988, marijuana violation, 1 year, 6 months. 1990, theft, 1 year, 6 months. 1992, burglary second degree, 4 years, 6 months. 1999, aggravated DUI, 3 years. 2004, resisting arrest, 1 year, 9 months. This is his fifth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-3, mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1991, temporary release reverted to provisional, absconded 3 months, administratively revoked. 1995, provisional release completed 9 months. 2002, TIS release completed 5 months. 2006, TIS release absconded for 452 days, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is moderate with sex acts noted. Other arrest, 1999, possession of a narcotic, Arizona County Jail. He has a GB score of G1, B2.
Thanks, sir. Okay, Mr. Lewis, you want to go over summary of the case supervision?
Okay.
Okay, so in May, when you were released to community supervision, you were approved for placement at Reborn Assistance at 1841 West Fairmont Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
You were discharged from Reborn Assistance because of your negative attitude. That went on July 7th of 2017. On July 10th of 2017, you were approved to reside at 4015 South 7th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, at Southwest Behavior. On July 25th of 2018, you were discharged from Southwest Behavior. Then on August 3rd, 2017, you were approved to reside at Turning Point, 1541 North 48th Drive in Phoenix, Arizona. Pierre Agunthe gave you permission to reside at 5552 West Minton Avenue in Levine, Arizona. Then on March 25th, 2018, P.O. Barraza was made aware that the defendant moved to Abel's house located at 324 North 6th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. On April 9th of 2018, you notified the P.O. that you were discharged from Abel's house because you missed curfew. Then on April 9th, 2018, Pierre Barraza contacted Joe Vincent, facility manager at Abel's house, who stated the offender was discharged from the program because when he came home past curfew and the offender was belligerent. Then on April 10th, 2018, he reported to the parole office and the director of secure residence at TLC, located at 2202 East Roosevelt Street, Phoenix, Arizona. On April 11, 2018, the PO received a call from the Perez facility manager at TLC, stating that you could remain in the TLC program, but because you owed a balance of $600, you would have to stay at the 9430 North 11th Avenue address. That's the Hard 6 program. So on April 12, 2018, FPO Maynard directed the offender to secure a residence there at the 9430 address. On April 13, 2018, P.O. Barraza contacted Ryan and Hard 6 TLC manager, and Ryan understood that you reported the program, but that because you felt the program was not for you. You were not contacted and reported to a site parole officer in regards to your change of residence from TLC, nor did you have PO's prior permission to change your place of residence. Wow. So it seems like you had trouble staying at different houses while you were out. What was the problem, sir?
The TLC problem, I apologize for the other ones. Well, my first halfway house when I got released, it wasn't that I was negative or bad attitude. It was because when I got there, the stipulation was that I pay $120 a week. All of a sudden, we had this meeting. He was telling us that he's going to raise the rent on us to $140 due to people he's kicking out or leaving the program. So I went in there, went my rent, and said, do you want my rent that I have to pay for this week? But he said, no, I want more because you're going to have to raise your rent. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay because of people leaving or you kicking them out. My contract was that I'll pay $120 a week. I mean, so he got on the phone with the manager came. Yes, I got upset about it because, you know, how you gonna make me pay something because you're kicking people out of the house? You know what I mean? That's not right. You know what I mean? So I got a little angry, you know what I mean? So he called the manager came, we talked, and he talked to me about it, you know, these cats not, you know, these guys I got working for me or don't haven't been to the place that I, you know, me and him have been to. You know, I kind of, you know, calmed down. He went there and asked, can I come back? They said no, so I went, yes, I left. He took me to a hotel. I stayed a night, and that's when I called my first PO. So he asked me, did I have anywhere else to go? I said, do I have any relatives? I said, yeah, I have my sister. That's the 5552. No. I went to that behavioral center place. They only allow you 27 days to stay there. That's why they don't say anything about, you know, why I got discharged. That's the reason why I got discharged from there. Then after that was completed, I completed that program. He asked me, he said, do you have a halfway house built? So I went to another halfway house, but it wasn't DOC approved. So he called me, he said I couldn't be there, and then that's when he asked me, do I have a relative to go to? The 5552, that's my sister's resident. So I stayed there. Then, you know, she wanted her house, you know, back to herself. That's when I went to Able House. You know, like I told her, you know, I met a young girl, you know, who I kind of lost track of time. I stayed out all night past curfew. Like I told her, it's not her fault, it's my fault, you know what I mean? I just got done doing 10 years. You know, I haven't been with a female since, you know what I mean? But that's no excuse for me missing past curfew. You know what I mean? So I went, after I got discharged from there, I went down my own place. I wanted to see if I could do this on my own. So I called her, and that's when she told me, no, you can't have your own place. You know, I'm kind of wondering why. You know, I'm working, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, taking my UA, you know, only two came up dirty out of 10, you know what I'm saying? After that, you know, I woke up and said, what am I doing? Do I want to go back to the same place where I've been? That's why I said, no. You know what I mean? In the meantime, you know, I'm having a little problem. I just lost my mom while I was in DOC and my sister. So I still got this little attitude going on. It's a little angry that I haven't, you know, been out there with my mom knowing she was sick. I mean, so that's why basically I have this little anger, you know what I mean? Which is something I have to get rid of if I want to get back in society and finish what I was doing, you know what I mean? And the TLC situation, I went there for the first one. TLC let me come there. I stayed the night there. I got up 2:00 in the morning. That's what time I get up to go to work. I mean, I was at work. A PO called me, PO Barado, whatever, I keep forgetting her name. So she calls me on my phone while I'm at work. She said that I can't be there because why didn't I tell her that I owe $600? I'm like, I wouldn't remember that. That was years and years ago, somewhere in like 1990, somewhere up in there. I mean, so I get off work, I go back to TLC. He did not say nothing about no hardship. She did, you know what I mean? But he did. He told me I couldn't be on premises. So I call her back and I'm saying, well, this guy telling me I can't be on premises. So what did you tell me about some hardship? That's when I asked her. I said, she told me about some hardship. She said, oh yeah, you owe $600. So you have to go to our other TLC on 11th Street in Hatchet. You know what I mean? And so I went to the parole officer, to the parole office. I talked to the supervisor there. That's when he gave me the address to go down there. I went down there. But I'm asking him, I said, look, why can't I just pay the $600 out of my pocket? I work. You know what I mean? He said, no, we don't do it like that. You can't work at all. So I said, man, I have bills, I have child support. They knock you up in child support. I help my parents out, well, my dad, my mom, she's rest in peace right now. So I said, man, I can't do this. I'm just starting working. I like the job I'm at. The whole year I was out there, I was working, no police contact, none of that. You know what I mean? I like what I'm doing. You see the letter that my boss wrote me. And then the June 25th, I was supposed to be getting on permanent, you know what I mean, just to better myself in society. He was giving me a chance. I made it that far, you know, and then I was getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, walking from 40th Avenue and Northern all the way to 7th Avenue, 75th Avenue and Northern, just to catch a ride and get to work. That's how I was dedicated, to go to work and stay out of this place. I mean, so, you know, I don't understand how come I had to go to this place to lose my job, which I didn't want to lose my job. And for her to say I didn't contact her, I left her voicemail, I left her the address to do it, the halfway house. I did locate, you know, not the TLC, but I found another halfway house that I could text her the address. I even left voicemails when I was at work. I left her all of that information. Even the manager, the name of the halfway house was Fruit of the Trees. It was on 1529 West Cocoa Pop. I mean, I left her all kind of messages on her phone. I don't know why she said she tried to get in contact with, you know, got in contact with, which she didn't. Every time I called, she never called me back. My phone number's been the same for the whole year I was out of prison. She has my sister's address. She has my dad's address. She has all of them. And she said she's been trying to get in contact with me. She never did. My dad even did. If my dad would have seen my PO trying to get in contact, he would have called me and said, "Them people are trying to get in contact with you." She never did try to get in contact with me. I stayed in contact with Ms. Barraza the whole time I switched, didn't go to the TLC. I texted her the new address that the halfway house I was at. And then when that one got relocated, I even texted her the other address on 43rd Avenue and Northern. I texted her all of them addresses. So I don't see why she said she couldn't get in contact with me. She had my phone number. Every time I did try to get in contact with her, she never did call me back. I even called her office, her office. She didn't answer that phone. You know what I mean? That's why I wanted to have my phone, so you can see that I did try to get in contact and let her know my situation, that I did, you know, find another halfway house that was working with me to let me keep my job, you know what I mean, so I can continue to be, you know, to do right in society. You know what I mean? I didn't expect this. I didn't think she had a warrant on me, period. You know what I mean? Especially if I'm doing okay, going to work, doing what I'm supposed to do, paying my child support. You see in the warrant that was, you know, that I stayed working. I provided her with check stubs every time she wanted them. I mean, she knew my job address. She could have came down there and talked to me. You know what I mean? And so I don't understand why she's saying that I didn't contact her. I did not contact her. You know what I mean? I don't understand that. Which I was doing everything I was supposed to do on parole.
Okay, well, sir, I don't know why she wasn't able to get in contact with you. She needs to report him to the warrant. She tried to get a hold of your father, but was listed as nobody contact and didn't have any results there. You weren't going back to TLC, which, you know, really, sir, the biggest part of the violation is you didn't go and stay at the 106th TLC like you were directed, so you're not following the rules. And whether or not she can contact you or you contacted her isn't as big a point as the fact that you seem to have had a lot of trouble following those directions. Well, let's move on. So you were employed most of the time you were out, sir? All right, so you worked most of the time. It's very good. On your program, then you have appointed this, like you said, you've got 10 UAs, but two of them were dirty. One back in September of 2018 was alcohol, but then as recently as February of this year, you were positive for cocaine. Now, why is if you're behaving yourself and not doing things you're not supposed to, why would you snort some cocaine and take a chance on going back to jail?
Because, you know, like I said, you know, you keep using that excuse. You know, I just lost my mom. You know what I mean? While I was in prison doing my 10 years, I started feeling depressed because when we have family get together, I'm used to my mom being there with me. You know what I mean? So I just, you know, it was just a mistake. But after she asked me, are you, you know, what about this UAL 30? Are you going to be clean your next few UAs? Yes, my UAs was clean because I feel guilty after I've done that. Something like my mom was talking to me, what are you doing? Well, you know, you just got done doing time. What, you want to go back to the same way you were? That's when I woke up, I started knowing what I was going to do, going back to work, keeping my job, you know what I mean? Because the job I have now, I like it. And the guys there, they knew my situation. They knew where I just come from. They was helping me to stay on track, to stay on my program. You know what I mean? And I liked it that. And I like being around positive people. That way it keeps a smile on my face and keep me from being so angry. I don't know, maybe this place got me angry. I don't know why I keep this anger in me, but I know I do need to go see or take classes.
Okay, sir?
Help with this anger, yes.
Okay. First off, I'd like to extend the world's condolences to the loss of your mother. But I lost my mother, and I didn't do any cocaine, and I didn't do any meth, and I didn't do any drugs at all.
Right. And that's
I, you know, didn't resort to any of that because she was right there to tell me no. I don't have, in my paperwork, it doesn't specify if there were any UAs after February of 2018 that were negative. I would assume, based on just, you know, the length of time and the number of UAs, that there are at least one or two after that. But you also go on to say that you were enrolled in many programs where they're trying to help you, you know, get your life straightened out, but you never completed any of the programs that you were assigned to. You know, that's all these halfway houses and programs and all that stuff, so you never completed any of them.
What programs are those?
Well, even like the very last one at TLC, the Hard Six, that's a program there, and it's supposed to help you get your re-entry into the community, and that's... There's programs that they would put me when they were telling me to go to certain halfway houses, partly for programming. But, but in the time you're out, you apparently didn't complete any programming to you know, as far as any drug problems or things you had before you got out there. So.
Okay, to go to this program to lose my job when I have child support.
Okay, sir, let me explain something to you. You were in the Department of Corrections for a considerable amount of time. You've got to reintegrate into the community, and there are certain aspects of that reintegration that the Department of Corrections is trying to move you through so that you'll be a total success out there. And if you go to work, excuse me, if you go to work all the time and you never do any programming, never take anything like that, then you end up with this type of situation where there's a lot of things aren't being done, and we can't feel safe with you in the community because we're not sure you're going to be able to follow the rules. And that's what we're looking at, okay? So that's what the programming is about. So I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Any questions? No? Okay, sir, we're close to the end of your hearing now. The board will go into discussion to make a decision in a few minutes, but before we do that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything you think might be important to our decision, but we would prefer that you don't go over information that we've already covered, okay?
All I want to do is get out there and go back to work. Finish taking care of my daughter and do it, you know, and be somebody, law-abiding citizen, just to do what I was doing when I was out there, working and take care of my daughter. And it's not like I was out there committing crimes or nothing. I'm going to work trying to make something of myself, prove myself, you know what I mean? because most of all my life I've been in prison, and this is the first time I've been out of prison trying to do something right. Then I get, you know, violated over because I didn't go to this halfway house because I didn't want to lose my job. I don't understand. I just don't understand. You know, that's to me, that's not committing a crime. All it is saying that this man wants his job and keep his job and do what he has to do with society. You know what I mean? Like most people wants to work and get out there and take care of his bills and his daughter and family. You know what I mean? That's all I wanted to do.
Well, I understand that, sir. Okay, well, thank you. The board will be going into discussion now. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a decision. We may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. We'll ask you to remain silent, but stay on the phone. You can listen to the entire conversation, and then after we've made a decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
Yep. Thank you.
All right. We're moving on this question. Well, Mr. Lewis, it sounds like he actually wants to go out and be successful and return to society and take care of his responsibilities and be a productive citizen. But it also is obvious that he hasn't quite figured out that he has to follow by rules as he reintegrates. It's there's a lot to be said out there. The pressure comes on at one point in time, after he's been out quite a while, he uses cocaine. Now, although he says he's been clean since, there was 56 of scam days, and we have absolutely no idea what he was doing. And even we can't even be sure he wasn't committing crimes and just didn't get caught for them. But at this time, I don't think that Mr. Lewis is really a good candidate for return to community supervision, but I'm going to listen to my fellow board members, if any discussion I have. Okay. So based on all the information, 20-18W-1136, Mr. Lewis's testimony and the information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Lewis as he was a victim, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed and was about to lapse in criminal ways for a company, and very specifically in some scam time where we do not know what he was doing. That's my motion.
Well, did you see the second of employee right there? I was working until
motion by myself, seconded by Ms. Woodmouth, approved by Mr. Jones. Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. We know that's not exactly how you want this to come out today, but with everything
going
on, we would recommend that you try to get some program while you're there, primarily anger management. Mr. Lewis got up and stormed out of the room, so hung up the phone, left the room, so this will end his hearing.